You got John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the most quoted piece of Scripture in all of history. People that know God quote it. People that don't know God memorize it and know it by heart. People that are old know it, and people that are young know it. People that are saved quote it. People that are not saved quote it. But it tells us that God wants you to be with Him forever. God loves the world, and God gave to the world His Son. God is serious about that business. God is so serious about your salvation and so serious about you living forever that God died for you. God gave His life. That's how serious God was and serious God is regarding your salvation. How serious are you about your salvation? God is serious about you. Are you serious about Him? God died for you. Would you die for Him? Many of us don't even die for Him because we don't even live for Him. Many don't know the value of what God has done. That God has given you a gift of life and life eternal. Never ever die. And yet we reject God and we are sold to a toy world. Are you all right? We've been talking about the things that we value as a church. Things about fellowship. We talk about fellowship. We talk about prophetic insight, about the gift and the motivation and the office. We talk about the Word of God and how the Word of God shapes our lives. I want to talk this morning to you about missions. Why is missions valuable to us as a church? Many of us love to expound the virtues of Scripture. And you go places where people talk about seminars on leadership, on finances, on the prophetic, on evangelism, on everything. And we forget that we speak of Paul's virtues and the things that God has revealed to him to share with us. And we preach from Paul, we preach from the Old Testament, from Abraham and all that. But we forget that Paul, who wrote more than half the New Testament, that we build our church on, that we build our lives on, that we have seminars about, Paul was a missionary. Paul wrote as a missionary. And yet we don't know that. That the guy that you read about the God that you read about that he explained every Sunday in churches all over the world was written to you by the pen of a missionary. God had only one son, and God sent His only one son to be a missionary. He died on the mission field for the people that He went to tell about this great, great story of salvation. Hello, are you all right? Many times when we take up a missionary offering, we just take the leftovers that are left in our wallet and put it in the offering. When we have a miracle worker come, everybody will come to the church. When we have an evangelist, a healing evangelist, everybody will turn up. When we have a prophet come, everybody will turn up. But when we have a missionary come, nobody turns up. Yet the Bible's about missions. The backbone of this book is about missions. Many people go to a church and they get soaked in the power of the Holy Ghost. They become Holy Ghost junkies. They get filled. They shake all over the place. They speak in tongues. They prophesy and go out to the church and never do nothing. Why did the Holy Ghost come? Why do you want the power of the Holy Ghost? Why? Why do you ask God, God touch my life? Why? What for? Why did the Holy Ghost come? Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, including Castle Cliff. That's why the Holy Ghost come. It came that you may be propelled to tell somebody else, that you may be a missionary. The Holy Ghost came that the missionary can be empowered to go. Hello. And yet we don't. We just like to be blessed and bless me and my wife, bless my son John and his wife, us four and no more. Hello. So I just like to have a look at the scriptures about missions, and then I'll head away. I've got a plane to catch. But look at Genesis chapter 12. I'm reading for you. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. Get out. From your family, from your father's house, to a land west of New Zealand, to a land that I will show you, sorry. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the hapus and the iwis and all the tribes of the earth shall be blessed. Every family on the earth. The call to Abraham was a missionary call. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and through you, all the families, the Samoans, the Koreans, the Malaysians, the Filipinos, the Tongans, the Europeans, all the families of the earth will be blessed, but I'm going to bless you. What is that? That's a missionary call. And when we speak of Abraham, we only talk about how a great man of faith he was. Well, he was a missionary. The reason you're here is because of him. Hello? I'm not angry. Hallelujah. Have a look at Genesis 26. Verse 4. Abraham is now gone. This is Abraham's son. Verse 4. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, in your seed, in your seed, in your seed, I'll talk about that later on. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. In your seed, all the nations of the earth. He spoke to Abraham. Now he's speaking to Abraham's son. Listen to me. Don't go to sleep just because it's familiar. Hello? You don't go to sleep eating a steak just because it's familiar. Huh? Have you ever gone to sleep eating an ice cream? No, you don't. Why? Even though it's familiar, you still like to eat. So don't loose me now because I'm heading somewhere. All right? And he said to Abraham's son, I'm going to bless your descendants and all the families of the planet, whether they live in Palmerston North or Siberia. All the families of the earth, Zimbabwe, black families, white families, brown families, yellow families, olive families, all the families of the earth, the fat ones, the thin ones, the tall ones, the dark ones, will be blessed because of you. What is that? It's a missionary call. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Have a look at Genesis 28. Now he's talking to the grandson of Abraham. Grandson of Abraham slept in Wanganui. I mean in Luz. And when he woke up, he changed the name of the place from Egmont to Taranaki. Hello. And when he woke up, he slept in Luz and woke up in Beth-El. Beth-El is the house of God. He slept in an ordinary place, but because God revealed himself to him, in that ordinary place. He woke up in that place and called it Bethel, the house of God, the gates of heaven. And this is what God said to him. Verse 14, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you and your seed. The God that we worship is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Abraham, Ishmael, and somebody else. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God we worship. Hallelujah. Where is Abraham's piece of real estate? Hello? It's in Israel. Now, I am quite concerned with the state of the church in their relationship to Israel. Because many of the church folks read the newspaper and not read the Bible. So they take the Palestinian point of view instead of a Jewish point of view. Let me say this. Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews, not the Palestinians. You don't know what we worship. We know what we worship. Because salvation is of the Jews, not the Americans, not the Europeans. When the Bible says about the center of the earth, it's not America, it's not Washington, it's Jerusalem. North, according to the Bible, the nations of Gog and Magog. The south, according to the Bible, it's not north of Washington, it's not south of London, it's north of Israel and south of Israel. Now let me say this. Jesus was born a Jew. He will always be a Jew. There is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now the man Christ Jesus is a Jew, and he will be a Jew forever. Now, the newspaper never reports anything good about the Jews, even though they are the recipients of about 100 to 1,000 rockets every day. None of those is reported in the newspaper. And the Christians read the newspaper instead of reading the Bible that's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Hello. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Not angry. Just talking. I noticed some very significant church leaders went to Israel to protest the Israeli treatment of Palestinians. They never report the Palestinians' treatment of Israelites. Never. Why? Because the media is almost demonic, and most people read the media and call it the gospel. Bethlehem, the little baby we celebrate that was born in Bethlehem, that baby is Jewish. Bethlehem is in Israel. You can't change that fact. Are you all right? Hallelujah. So look around. Have a look at the world affairs and know that you're not going to be here forever. You might not guarantee the next 10 years for the planet. But the switch that switches it on and off is not in Washington. It's in Israel. So keep your eyes peeled. Don't just live for tomorrow. Many of our values are so temporary. We just live for tomorrow. Hey, forget about, just bless me. Wake up. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Have a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 32. You know what God said about the Israel? God said this: if I forget my covenant with you, then I'll forget my covenant with day and night. Where are you living now? Are you in a day or what? You slept last night, eh? Why? Because God made a covenant with day and night. If God forgets that covenant, none of us will be alive. God said, if I forget my covenant with day and night, then I will forget Israel. The most smallest piece of real estate in the planet, and yet the most hated. We've already burned 6 million of them. And the way we are going, we'll burn another 6 million. And we'll side with the Palestinians who are killing everybody. Hello? If you're Palestinian here, bless your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you got 2 Chronicles? Chapter 6. I'm going to Australia, fly out from Palmerston North, so I'll drive there to pick up my flight. The head of the Assemblies of God of Samoa in Australia passed away. I'm going to his funeral. He was a great man of God and also a personal friend, and he'll be buried tomorrow, and so I'm just heading across after I preach. That's why I'm hurrying up. Are you okay? Now, some of you get up here and just take your all time, but you don't know the timetable. I'm the only one that knows the timetable. All right? So I'm hurrying up because I have to drive over there and pick up a flight, then pick up a flight from Auckland and get there and preach tonight. Are you all right? Praise God. Verse 32 and 33. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. Probably the greatest edifice that was ever built by a human being was the Temple of Solomon. Nothing before and nothing since equals the glory of that temple. And Solomon built it. And when he dedicated the temple, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, who lives in heaven, if somebody who does not know you comes to this temple, and they come because they heard of your great name, and they stand in the temple and call out to you, he said, would you answer the foreigner's prayer that the whole earth may know that you are God? That the whole earth may know that you are God. God wants the whole earth to know that he died for them, that he loves them. And there was a missionary purpose in the temple of Solomon. When Jesus came in the New Testament, there was a time when he was angry. How many know that God is capable of anger? He was angry, and he got some ropes, and very gently said, guys, please don't do that in my house. Can you go out there and do your barbecue out there? No, he didn't do that. He whacked them. He turned the table. He threw chairs around. He upset the money changers. And said, get out of here. My house is a house of prayer for all nations. All nations. Now, why was he angry? Because they were doing it in the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles. The temple had a purpose for those that don't know God. It's a missionary purpose. And there are Gentiles that don't know God, and they have a court where you meet for worship. You say, well, I don't know any Gentiles. While there is a court of the Gentiles, everywhere God's temple is set up. Whether you believe that or not is a fact in Scripture, that part of your money in your wallet and your bank account don't belong to you. They belong to those that don't know God. They belong to the foreigners. They belong to the heathens that don't know God yet. And you are supposed to give it and take it to them. Take the gospel of life to them, that they too may have life eternal, just like you. When you die, you go to heaven. When they die, they ought to go to heaven. Why? Because you have in your hand part of the court of the Gentiles. But when we give an offering, $20 is too much. When we go to McDonald's, $20 is not enough. Not enough for McDonald's, but too much for Jesus. After all, McDonald died for us. God gave his life, and $20 is too much for him, but it's not too much for McDonald's. You wonder who is Lord. Are you okay? But the temple had a purpose for the heathens, those that don't know God. Don't get so caught up in fellowship that you forget there are people not yet in the ship. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. We come this morning, we come to this table. It's going to be communion, and Pastor Andrew will officiate that. I'm just telling you that. All right. Because I'm going to go in a few moments. Hallelujah. But the cross was not just a cross for the Jews. The cross was for the whole world. And in the book of Revelation, when they came to worship the Lamb, they said, worthy art thou to be worshipped, because you purchased out of every nation a people by your blood. By your blood. Hallelujah. That blood purchased the Palestinians. It purchased the Samoans, the Koreans, and everyone. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You heard that prophetic word this morning, that eagle that was mixing himself. An eagle is one of the most cleanest birds, if not the cleanest bird you can find. But when an eagle is captured, there's not a dirtier bird than an eagle. And when the Christian is a Christian and he lives righteously, you cannot find anybody like that. They soar the heavenlies. They are unafraid of anything. But when the Christian is captured by sin, there's no dirtier human being than a Christian that is encaptured and encaged by sin. And they need to be rescued. And some of you may have known that. Some of you may know that, but you don't want to do anything about it. You like wallowing in the filth of what you're doing. I want you to know it's possible because of his blood to be set free again and soar afresh like the eagle. Hallelujah. Jesus' disciples were missionaries. We just read the disciples. Oh, Thomas. And when we speak of Thomas, we always mock him when we preach. He was a doubting guy who did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That doubting guy went to India, was pierced through by a spear and died. And when Fear and I went to India, we went into the grotto that he used as a prayer grotto. And I forget how tall I was. I stood up too fast, too soon, and realized the grotto was just small, and I hit my head on the thing. But that man, today, something phenomenal is happening in India because of what that man did. We went to the little sanctuary where some of his remains are, and people come from all over the world. This doubting man became a missionary to India. The Bible says God will pour His Spirit upon all flesh. And there are more Indian flesh on the planet than European flesh plus American flesh. Why? There are more people in India except for China than any other country in the world. And Thomas went there to tell them about the great, great story of Jesus Christ. Sometime in about 1988, or maybe earlier than that, there were 170 Assemblies of God churches in South India. There were other churches like Baptist and that, but the Assemblies of God had about 170 churches. 5 years ago, when Fear and I went there, and that's from 1988, so it's not long. About 20 years, they went from 170 churches to over 5,000 churches. And many of those churches have 3 services a Sunday because you can't fit them inside the building. We spoke at Dr. Mohan's church with 32,000 people. 35,000. They have 11 services and start on Saturday night and then go right through the Sunday. They have 4 English-speaking services upstairs on the 4th floor. And 1,000 fill the auditorium every time. Another 1,000 and another 1,000 and another. Downstairs at a Tamil-speaking service, they have about 7 services and 6,000 Indians come in to worship God. That's not America. That's not Australia. That's not New Zealand. That's India. It's phenomenal. They gave us an offering and I gave it back. And the pastor said, sir, for many years you have given to us and we have taken it. We are now in a position where we are able to bless people that come to minister. Please receive our offering. It's a privilege and an honor if you will just take our offering. We are at that position now when we can give money instead of just taking stuff. And now they are sending missionaries to other parts of the world. Many years ago when my wife and I were in Mangaweka, we planted 50 churches in India. Hello? My wife, when she was growing up, and I'll close with this, always wanted to be a missionary. Because many missionaries came to the little church that her parents were pastoring, little Pentecostal church in Samoa. And she used to say, if they have the heart to come to us, then I want to be like them. She always wanted to be a missionary when growing up, and unfortunately she married me. And her vision to be a missionary was dead. Until one day somebody spoke to her. How many times, you know, you can be in the midst of something and don't even know in the midst of something? How many know the fish does not know it's wet? The fish does not know it's wet. Hello? And someone said, but Mrs. Sarah, you're a missionary. I said, I'm not. I long to be a missionary. But you are. He said, tell me. He said, well, you pastor a church that is not Samoan. You work cross-culturally everywhere you and your husband go. You go to India. You go to Dubai. You go to Moscow, you go all over the place, and everywhere you go, you're ministering to cultures that are not yours. Of course you're a missionary. And then she stood there and cried. Just realized that she was wet. Hello? Hallelujah. God has called us, and the reason the Holy Ghost came is for us to be able to reach beyond our borders and our barriers. Not only with our lives, our heart, and our money, that others who don't know God may come to know Him. Why? Because God wants everyone that is here in this building and everyone that is outside of this building to be in heaven with Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, not because He had nothing better to do, but so that you and I may believe and live forever with Him.